a man. Men are cool. So what am I going to do? I'm going to act cool. Oh, men are strong, right? The world says that, but it's contrary to what Jesus will say in a little bit. Like, oh, man, I got to act strong. Men are tough. Made of metal. Anakuonza, this is tulo. Osatisomawaye, yeah. Like, that's all I was trying to pursue, man. So when I started drinking at the age of six years old. Yeah? And come on, it was not like I went to a bar on my own. But the story is weird. My dad brought me and my young brother, sat us down, told us to go get cups, and he opened a bottle of beer, poured it out for us. That's how I started drinking. Period. So I was exposed to booze at a very young age. So I was like, man, this is cool. Because if you're a really cool dude, this is what you do. So I pursued that life. Then, you know, as I was going, it was not enough. I was like, come on, one bottle is not enough. Two is not enough. Three is not enough. I found that's a tulo. So we started gajasu. What's that? So all these other things you guys drink nowadays. We're like, if you're mafana zitulo. So I went down that road. As I was on that road, I had moments where I was like, you know what? Maybe smoking can be cool. But the funny part is I've battled with asthma in my life. So smoking and asthma are not good friends, you know what I mean? But you know, it was like in the pressure, in trying to feel that you are a man. I felt like my value, my respect, my getting honor, my getting street cred was all based on the things I could do, was all based on the things I could attend, was all based on the things I could fabricate, was all based on the things I wanted to prove to people that didn't even care about me that I was something. So I grew up until when I was around 17, so you can calculate my years now. And Jesus met me, and he messed my life up in the best of ways. When Jesus was meeting me, I was an addict. You don't have to raise your hand up if you're addicted to something. You don't. But I want to tell you, from one addict to another, when Jesus met me, I was an addict. And how did I get to be an addict in something that looked so cool? It was because I thought in that time my value came from that. My value came from what people thought about me. My value came from what my girl thought about me. My value came from what my boys were thinking about me. And if you're on that path, you are here, you're like, I don't care about this church thing. I just want you to stay with me for a little bit. Can you stay with me for a little bit? Yeah, so stay with me a little bit, because the path you're on is exhausting. Like, you're going to hit spaces where you're going to feel like, is there more to life? Is there more to living? And for some of us, that's where we are today. We're at a place where you're like, man, I've tried and I've done anything, everything, and it just doesn't feel like enough. You with me? Like, it doesn't feel like you're getting it enough. You're working so hard, you're getting the grades, you're looking fly, you're traveling, you're doing all those other things, but it still doesn't feel enough. Why? Why? It's because maybe... Maybe if you follow me, maybe it's not enough. Maybe the things we have allowed to define our lives are not the things that are supposed to define who we are. So as I'm speaking, I want you to start thinking about, what are the things that define me right now? Where you're seated right now, write that question. What are the things that are defining my life right now? For some of you, if you start pursuing that question, you see, it's your school. That if you don't have school, your life will be nothing. Hello? Some of us, is if our boy dropped us, walked away from us, our boyfriend, we'll feel empty, worthless, and we'll say, I'm going to kill myself. And actually, not to even make fun of that, there are people that are feeling that way right now as I'm talking. And these things are real. These are real things we go through. Some of us, whatever we are fighting, however we feel today, is simply because some teacher who didn't know anything about life told us we'll never amount to anything. Come on. For some of us, it was not even a teacher. It was our mother. It was our sister. It was our brother. Actually, it even came in a question like, who do you think you are? What do you think you get to be? Some of us is our guardians, whether it's an uncle, an aunt. They've said something about us. So I'm going to do two things quickly before I fully jump into a couple of things. I need a volunteer quickly to come to the front. If you know me, you have seen me do this. One volunteer, quickly, come to the front. One volunteer. Yeah, I got it. Thanks. Go and have a seat. I wanted to give him cash, so I just gave him some money. Go, that's your money, dude. Go and sit down. That's his money. That's no longer my money. That is his cash. That's no longer my what? That is his money. That's no longer my what? When you give your life to Christ, it no longer belongs to you. It belongs to who? Christ. So I want you to start thinking about, oh, for those of you that have grown up in the church, are you living your life in a way that says your life belongs to Christ, or you're still in control? You're still in charge. Now, the second thing I want to do is a small thing. I have another 2,000 kwacha that I want to, actually, let me use a 2,000. And Peter, can you please come to the front? Oh, no, I'm not. He was like, I'm so ready, bro. I'm so ready. All right. Pete, can you grab this cup? I want you to look at this cup. Show him the cup. Cup is empty. Yeah. Look at your life as a life that was born with like a zero, nothing. You were born empty, right? Into a world, yeah? This note is 2,000 kwacha. It's from Reserve Bank of Malawi. Right? What's the value of this note? Who decided the value of this note? Reserve Bank, right? It's got nothing to do with me, right? Okay. I'm putting it in there. So, simple question. What's the value of this note? You guys are sure? Okay. There's sugar in here. So I'm going to try to throw some sugar in there. Yeah, man. Make it stick. How much is this money? You guys are sure that it's still 2,000? At the back, they're like, no, it's probably 1.8 right now. How much is it? All right. There's salt in this cup. Let me add some more water. Eh? Just mix these things. Eh? Mix them. Eh? Mix. How much is this money? You guys are sure? You are sure I can go to the bank and say this is a 2,000 question? You are absolutely sure? Okay. This is tomato sauce. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How much is this? You guys are sure? You guys are completely sure this is 2,000 kwacha. After all, this money has gone through. This is still a 2,000 kwacha. After me putting it in the water, this is still a 2,000 kwacha. After me adding some salt, this is still a 2,000 kwacha. You're sure? Even after the tomato sauce? This is still a 2000 watch. So I want everyone to be quiet. Quiet, please. Why then do you define your life by the things you have been through? Why are you letting the things you have been through be the things that define who you are? Who decides the value of this money? You or Reserve Bank? Are you with me? Why are you letting the things you have been through define who you are? Why are you letting your circumstances, a boy walking away from you, a girl dropping you, school failing you, you being broke, why are you letting those things define who you are? When we go to scripture, this is what scripture says. P, just stay with me. This is what scripture says. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is what the Bible is saying. Are you there? This is what the Bible says. It says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own what? Likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds, over the heavens and over the livestock, on all the earth and over everything creeping thing that creeps on earth. So verse 27 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of their boyfriend and their girlfriend and their dad and their cousin that hates them, God created him. In the image of their pastor, their man of God, their wallet and their bank account, God created them. In the image of what they were afraid of and them not knowing what's going on in the future, God created them. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So one more time. How much is this? And you're sure it's still 2,000. And why do you let your life, why do you allow yourself to be defined by the things you have been through instead be defined by God who made you? Why? 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 Okay, quick volunteer. Yeah, he's here. All right. You're going to clean the cash? Because it's still what? 2,000 kwacha. Amen. So that's my point. P, you can go have a seat. Show some love to Peter as well. This is what I'm saying. Your identity in Christ is the only identity that is received. It is an identity that is not achieved. You are who you are because God says you are. And for a lot of us, that is a little bit offensive and it doesn't really even sound true. So I want you to still stay with me. Because when we start following what scripture says, it says God created male and female in his image. In God's image. Now, what does that even mean? If it's a God created you in his image, in his likeness, what does that mean? What does that mean? There are a couple of things that I want to just press a little bit so you stay with me. And the first thing is, when God says he created you in his image, we should have it on a PowerPoint in a little bit. But when God says in his word that he created you in his image, he means you were created to be a creative being. You were created by God to be a creative being. Creativity is not just simply about the guys that were on stage. Come on. And we're going to see that in a little bit. God created you Because he's a creator who is creative, he created a creative being. And for some of us, when we think about that, we're like, no, man, that's not for me. That's for the guys at the back. No. If you were made by God in his image, part of that image is that you were created as a creative. When God looks at you, it's this creative work. And when God sends you, he's sending you as an extension of what creativity should look like. Now, God made you as a creative being, but also he made you as a spiritual being. Even people that don't believe in God, we are made by God to be spiritual. Even if you are in here and you don't care about God and you're like, man, you're just wasting my time. In your heart, there's a hole that only God can fit. That's the easiest, simplest way I can say it. That up until you find your rest in God, your life will continuously be restless. You continuously live your life searching for something more and never finding that more. Because the more that is surpassing every other thing is Jesus Christ, who holds all things together, who in Colossians chapter 1 says everything was made by him and for him. Now, for some of us that we're in a space where we're struggling and wrestling with the why am I here on earth? Colossians 1, 15, 16, 17 answers that for you, that you were made by God for God. And I want that to be something that you're holding on this night, because God created you in his image. In his likeness, he created male and female. And when you come to the New Testament in Colossians, that's where the Bible says, no, that male and female was created by Jesus and was created for Jesus. Are you with me? Now, you were created to be a creative being, a spiritual being, but also a moral being. That's why you're able to understand good and evil. That's why even people that don't care about God know good and evil. That's why even people that don't believe in God, they have a moral standard. Romans even says it this way: God has written his law on your heart. That even when you don't like God, when you don't want God, in you there's a moral compass that moves you towards doing good. But I love Romans. Romans explains a little bit more. Thank you, my wife, and thank you for everyone that's helped this. Amen. Thank you. That God has created you with a desire and a reality that you, despite God leading your life, there's a sense of there's wrong and right. Wrong and right. But the trouble is, when God created you in his image, the enemy showed up and said, you know what? I think you need more. You need a little bit more. And that allowed us to fall into sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and are short of the glory of God. Like everyone, no one taught you how to lie when you were a kid. No one told you how to steal, right? No one really gave you a lesson on how to make life all about yourself. That everything is about you. I want more. Why? Because inherently we don't want things of God. Now, as people that were made in the image of God, who are supposed to be creative, who are supposed to be spiritual, who are supposed to be moral, and who are supposed to be relational, doing life with others. God did not create us to live in a vacuum. God created us to live and do life with other people. So those people that were created by God, created in His image, created to be relational, creative, moral, and spiritual. Apart from God, they start finding their identity in things. Then they make things more important than God. So, for some of you, this is going to be a little bit hard. For some of you, God says, do not do this, right? And this sounds like legalism, so just stay with me for a second. God says, hey, do not hate your brother. But some brother steps on your toe. So you go and check it with your friends, say, first, before you check with what God wants you to do. God says, hey, man, you're still young. Don't sleep around. This sex is fun, but it's for marriage. You're going to enjoy it or figure out, or you don't know, but just stay pure. And then you go to your boy or to your girl. Do you think we should do this? Because we're trying to find our value in people, and we're turning good relationships that God created us to have into ultimate things. To the point that when it's an opportunity for us to live for God, we have to check it first with people. Do you think I should obey God? Do you think I should love God? Do you think I should not be corrupt? Do you think I should cheat? Do you think I should give my lecture some? Come on. Come on. Now, because of sin, right? God created us in His image. But because of sin, sin brought some complications. Hello. So this is what sin did. Sin separated you and me from God. Sin separated you and me from God. Actually, sin made us blamers. It turned us into people that don't take responsibility. We always find someone or something to blame. So it was my boyfriend, it was my girlfriend, it was my mother, it was my dad, it was my best friend, it is never us. It wasn't me, man. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. That sin turned us into blamers. So where we need to take responsibility, grow up and step up, we look for someone to blame. Up until we find them, that's when we think like something has been sorted. And a lot of us, what's between us moving from where we are to where God wants us to be is taking responsibility. It's taking responsibility. Yeah, it was not that boy that forced you to cross that boundary. Is there a chance that maybe you allowed him? It was not that girl, the way she dressed that day, that made you do that. Don't you think maybe you're the one that pushed the lines? Now, what sin does as well is it distorts how we see the world. Actually, it distorts what we think about ourselves. Some of us, our lives are simply about us. Everything is about me. Even the reason you show up to church is you. The reason why you serve in church is so that you are seen. The reason why you get up to go to SCOM at 5 a.m. for prayers is because so people can see me. The reason why you work hard is because me. Sin distorted our worldview. It distorts how you see men, how you see women. I'm going to push some buttons a little bit more. Stay with me. Sin messes up how you look at men and how you look at women. You know how I know that? Is if I just said exchange your phones. If I just said, hey, can you exchange your phones for 10 minutes? And come on, what we're afraid of is not that they will find a Bible in our phone. They'll find stuff that demeans what it means to be an image bearer. They'll find conversations that are all about using each other instead of seeing that we are the image of God. Are you with me? So let me still push it a little bit. Because one of the things that Jesus has continuously delivered me from is pornography. Hello? And you know what porn does? It turns human into objects. Like instead of seeing your sister, you see an object to have sex with. Instead of seeing your brother, all you see is a man that can satisfy you. Come on. Instead of seeing this as an image bearer created in the image of God, in his likeness, God created him. God created her. All you are thinking is, what can I do to her body? How can I touch her? What can I say? Now, I want you to hold on a minute, because I said you were created by God to be creative. So because you are distorted, your creativity, instead of celebrating humanity, uses humanity, uses other people's bodies. Instead of being relational, porn has messed up a lot of dudes and women because they don't know how to talk to each other. Because the only thing in their head is what? Are you with me? Are you with me? We're still talking about value, that our value is in Christ. Don't miss that. But I want you to see that when God created you, a creative being, and that creativity, when it is distorted, is going to use people. It's going to use bodies. You're going to find creative ways to get away with things. That's just it. And when you are created as a relational human, you only build relationships that you can get signed. Are you with me? The God created you to be to be his image, in his image. But when sin showed up, it separated you from God. Kind of like gave you permission and freedom to do whatever you want to do with the morality, with the creativity, with the things you can do to other people. So sin separates, distorts, and fabricates. It exalts unhealthy things. Let me say it this way. Sin has allowed us to be so creative that we live in a way as if God creates and Satan creates. When you read the Bible, you see that God creates, Satan counterfeits. Now in our sin and in our fabrication, we find things that God created and said it was good. And we fabricate them and we counterfeit them and we turn them into something that is harmful to humanity. Something that is harmful to our own selves. Something that is harmful to who we are. Simply because we are still looking for something more. Our hearts are still restless. Because we want something more and something better, something more fun, something that we can enjoy. And what ends up is abuse. And I know we talk about physical abuse. But some of you dudes, you don't even know how to talk to a girl, apart from those abusive tss. Is, hey, babe, I can see your breasts are looking good. Like, dude, you can't even say hi? Like, yeah, with those legs. Oh, dude, you can't just see her heart. All you are seeing are things because you are abusive. You distort stuff and you use the things of God for yourself. For yourself. Now, a little bit more. Stay with me. I gotta just hammer one more thing. I love you guys. Now, when dudes' brains have been shaped by porn, what they look for in a girl is different. Because all they want is the sexiness, right? So you know what's happening. I'm sorry. I'm saying this out of a place of love. So stay with me. So your dude shows up and says he wants some. And he wants you to dress a certain way. Are you with me? Not simply because he loves you, but because he wants to get some and he wants to see something. So what ends up happening is, because the church is full of boys that are refusing to grow up, it's, come on. Oh, that's some fire right now. Jesus, help me. Because the church is full of boys that are manipulators, because they think to be a man, you have to conquer a girl. All right, guys, I have a few more minutes to go. So stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because the church is full of boys that are competing and spending their time comparing who's the best, what Gwesandani Ndani, all these other things. You have men that think they are men, but they are just boys with beard. So this is what's happening. Those boys, they're coming to the church and they're lifting their hands. I surrender to you. Now, in that process, a sister genuinely sees a dude that's trying to grow in God and says, you know what? Yeah, we can try a relationship, but that dude's heart, all he wants to do is use that girl. Because he doesn't know how to relate. He doesn't know how to build a relationship. How can he, when all he sits on are all these things that manipulates women? So then we get to be here and go like, what's wrong with all the dudes? No, 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 no. Why are the boys not growing up to be men? That should be the question we should be asking. Now, girls, this is my challenge to you. If you let these boys walk into your life, they're going to walk in. Your standard on who you are should be so based on who God says you are that when the boys show up, your standards are so high they can't climb the fence. But right now, for a lot of us, we're like, I don't know why all these boys show up. Because your standards are so low, these boys are just like, I love you. These boys are just like, Mana, tandukwile. Baby, I love you. Can we get some? Mwaifira? So my point is, as far as I'm talking to dudes, to step up and to get out of those toxic things, girls, I want you to find your true full identity in Christ. And we're going to say that in a little bit. Because when you find that identity in Christ and you sit in it, and you stay in it, and you hold on to Christ, these boys, when they show up, they won't have anything to say, because boys can talk, can have manly conversations. So all they'll be talking about is cars and toys and all this. That's what boys do. So when they come with their toy language, that baby, I like that about you, I like your breast, I like that, that's toy language. That's games. That's all these weird things. But when they show up to you and they see you pursuing Jesus, they'll go like, oh man, I just want to be more like Jesus because you inspire me. I want to build a life. I want to build a home with you because God is working in our lives. Are you with me? So sin messes us up. So the implications of that distortion, fabrication, and abuse is we make created things more important than God. Then we live for people's approval. Like Craig said, if you live for people's approval, you will die from their rejection. So we spend our lives living for people's approval. Then because of that sin, and we've been through so much like that 2000 kwacha, not, we grow in our disbelief. We have more faith in us holding things together, when the Bible says only Jesus holds all things together. So we push our lives trying to hold our relationships. Oh, no, 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 no. For some of us, we're like this. God, I'll give you my family. I'll give you my parents. I'll give you my... You have three. That's enough. I'm going to take care of my relationships. I'm going to take care of my money. And then those things messes you up so bad, and you come to God. Why have you forsaken me? Like, wait. Say what? God, why have you forsaken me? But it's like, wait, what do you mean I've forsaken you? You gave me my life, but you're still holding everything about your life to yourself. Because of disbelief. That we choose to believe in our own ability to hold things than believe in how God can take us through different seasons. And then there's insecurity. Because of our insecurity, we want to control things rather than surrender them to God. Then we live in hypocrisy. We pretend to be on fire for God when we know we are so dry. Come on. When we know it's just an act. So my hope today is, no matter what you're doing, how you've come here, drop the act. This is a house of God, amen? We're going to pray. We're going to sit and pray and trust the Lord and just say, God, work in our hearts. We're going to do that. And then some of us, we're sitting in comparison. Like our lives have been all about comparing our things to other people's stuff, when we have no idea what their story looks like. Now, I got married a year and some months ago. Beautiful. If you look at our wedding photos, me and my wife, we were incredibly happy. But 24 hours before that, people didn't know I was gonna walk to the front. I remember my friend that had visited came in and was like, dude, when I saw you, his name is Marco, when I saw you, I was not sure what to say because I was so sick. Now, when you look at our photos and you hit that like button and you go like, hey, man, I just want something like that. I'm not sure if I want that kind of thing for you. Because I slept, our wedding was in the afternoon. I slept up until 11 and I had to get up because I had to marry the love of my life. But in that process, I was still feeling like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I should go ahead. And you had all these people protecting me, making sure that I don't do too much stuff. Now, that was our thing. Our jinkoswe. We did a traditional jinkoswe. People showed up around 1. But I was sent to meet people around 3:30, 3:45. Because that entire time, the MC was buying time because I could not stand for more than 20 minutes. So he wanted to just put me out, do all the dancing, and take me back out. Now you look at that and go like, man, that was an amazing day. That was perfect. Oh, I just want something like that. No, you don't. You have no idea what was going on. The anxieties, the fears that people had. And you look at a photo and you just want that? You just want to compare your life to my, what looks like my highlight? And you're so busy on Facebook and on Instagram comparing other people's stories when you have no idea the full story. You have no idea. And you're sitting there and trying to find your identity by comparing, finding your value if you do something similar. No. No. But that's what sin does. And then it deceives us. It makes us think that we are good more than the way we are. Ah, no, I just ended that relationship. No, you have broken that girl's heart you have dated for 3 years because you are selfish and you only think about yourself. Deception. Deception. A lot of us, we're still deceived. We think like we have everything together. Oh, I'm going to get away with this. No, you're not. Oh, I'm good at this. Oh, you're not. Why am I saying you're not? Because, dude, you're going to keep chasing up until you find your rest in Christ. Up until Jesus becomes the one that blocks you and knocks you down. And a lot of us, we are still at that place. But when we read the Bible in Romans 8, God says, you and me have been adopted into his family. Despite our sins, all these other things, God sent his son. So if you have your Bibles, go to Galatians quickly with me. Amen. This is what the Bible says, Galatians chapter 4 from verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son and daughter, then an heir through God. I want you to just notice. I'm going to go quickly. So this is it. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. God sent his son, meaning that son is God, his deity. One, born of a woman. That means that son is also human. Jesus is both God, human. He's both man and God. He's deity. God sent his son to die for you. Born under the law. Jesus came and was born under the law so that he could be the perfect son of God. Born under the law. Born from a woman that fulfills the requirements for your salvation. So I want you to follow that. God sent his son, meaning that son was deity, God. Born of a woman, meaning that that son was human. To the point that when you read the Bible in Hebrews, it says, in Jesus you have a friend, a high priest, who fully understands what it means to be human. And that Jesus was tempted in every way. Now, what does every way mean? Every way. So, if you struggle with anger, Jesus was tempted to the point of anger, right? If you are struggling with your sexuality, I believe Jesus was tempted through that. Come on. Come on. Are you with me? Now, born of a woman, was born under the law, meaning Jesus was born as a second Adam. Because when Adam was made in God's image, in chapter 3 we hear that Adam sinned against God. So Jesus was born under the law as the last Adam, who fulfilled the entire law for your sake. And when God saw that, God was pleased. And Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says even death on a cross, meaning Jesus went to the cross, a tree, and anyone who died on a tree was called a cursed person. So Jesus went to the cross, carried all your curses. Come on. Jesus went to the cross and carried your curses. And some of you are like, I'm carrying my mother's curse or what? No, no, no. Jesus went to the cross and died as a curse on your behalf. And on your behalf, he fulfilled all that God required on your behalf. So that you what? So that you what? And because he did that, he redeemed those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption. So that you might be part of God's family. So that you might be fully restored to what it means to be an image bearer. To be a person that has been changed by God and for God. That's what Jesus did for you. Now, Jesus adopted us. So we are no longer slaves. We have been reconciled to God. Where we were enemies with God, through Jesus, you have an opportunity today to be a friend of God, to be in God, to be adopted into the family of God. Not as a slave, but as a son or a daughter. Not as someone that just stands at the fence and look inside. No. As part of the party, as the forgiven one, as the renewed one, as the one God is working for his good, as the one God has completely forgiven all their sins, even when they don't forgive their own sins themselves. You with me? So we've been redeemed. We now joint heirs with Jesus. It's basically, this is what we mean when we say we're joint heirs. Everything is owned by Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross, makes you his brother and sister, and says, whatever is mine is yours. Come on now. Everything Jesus is like, at the very end, everything I own, you're a co-heir. You're part of it. So you're busy settling for less when God has called you to more? Then you're loved lavishly. And then you're not condemned. For there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And you're forgiven. Now, I have at least 7 minutes. And I'm going to just rush through these next few things. Because I think they're important. So the question is, in the midst of all the noise I've said, how do you see it in your value? How do you process your living in this world? As a son or a daughter of God. How do you live in your family that has so many cultural things? How do you go to your school campus where life, dating, church is done in a different way? How do you go in that place and still excel as someone that truly finds their value in Christ? I'm going to propose 4 things, and I'm going to go through them quickly. The first thing you do is to ask the question, what should I receive? Any place you get into, any relationship you are in, the first thing you have to do is like, what is there in this relationship that I should receive? What is there about who young people are in this church should I receive? What is there, what are these people in this community, in Mulanje, in Cholo, in Runzu, in Karonga, in Rumpi, in Zimba, saying about what it means to be a young person? A single person. Some of you in churches where to be single is evil. Come on. You got to get married. Come on. What about marriage should I receive? What about life should I receive? What about work should I receive? Because some of you are thinking of working on jobs that are going to exhaust you. You won't have time for your family, for your friends. You have all the money, but you will not be happy because you don't know what you're making that money for. And this is what happens. Then when you are 50, all the money you have made will just go down to your health because you have to regain your health because now you're sick. You didn't have time for everyone. And just crazy, man. So crazy. That was scary. Ooh. So ask the question, what should I receive from this person? What should I receive from Matt? What should I receive from you? What are the things about you that I should receive? That you think about me. You think about life. You think about flourishing. Then, what are the things I should rethink? What are the things I should rethink? Not only receive, but what are the things here I should rethink? The way you do life, your work culture, your school culture, your church culture. What are the things there that I should rethink? Like there's a better way to do those things. I don't think I have to agree with you on that. I think we can think about relationships this way. Instead of using each other, what if we take 1 Corinthians 13 that says love is considerate? So what if I am considerate every time I go on a date with you and I don't cause you to regret? Because consideration does not cause regret. Are you following me? So you rethink. Then there are moments where there are things that are toxic, things that can be bad, things that you have to not only rethink, but things you have to redeem. So you receive, then you start, okay, should I receive that or should I rethink that? Oh, should I rethink that or should I redeem that? That when you look at it, that's what we did with hip-hop back in the day. Hip-hop was just all about me, cursing, girls, drugs. And we're like, okay, can we do something about hip-hop? Are there things about rap we enjoy that we can redeem and then enjoy that hip-hop? And the movement has gone on. Because not only did we receive or rethink, but we figured out how God could redeem. And why am I saying that? And why is that important? Because God is not only waiting for you when you give your life to him to be at a place where you wait for him to come back. What God is doing today, right now, he is renewing you. If he's renewing you, he's renewing the things that are around you because you are there as a child of God. Meaning, that class you hate so much, you are the agent of renewal for God in that class. That neighborhood you hate so much, you're the agent of renewal for God in that neighborhood. That church you like, you're not sure you should be at, you are God's agent of the work he's doing of renewing all things to be more like Jesus in that neighborhood. You know your family, how it is toxic? You are the agent of God's power of renewal in that family. So instead of running away, maybe you have to embrace that God is not only renewing you, therefore renewing other people. You gotta jump into that. And the last thing, this is important, reject. The things that are being said about you that you have to totally reject. You don't have to think about them. You don't have to redeem. You don't have to receive. Reject. Oh, you will never amount to anything. Reject. You are worthless. Reject. Oh, I just want to have some sexy time with you, girl. Reject. Reject. Oh, you're just your degree, reject. Because you're more than your paper. You're more than your paper. You're more than your paper. So you reject. Oh, you know, all girls here get married at 17. Reject. Oh, you know, other Christians do that too. Figure out what I need to receive, what I need to rethink, what I need to redeem, what I need to reject. I'm telling you, if you take that to your work, if you take that to your marriage, if you take that to your dating relationship, if you take that to your school, if you take that to your campus and you start thinking, what are the things about value? What are the things about humanity? What are the things in this country right now that we should reject? What are the things in this country right now that we should receive? What are the things in this country that we should rethink? Because this is our own country. This is what we have. What are the things we should rethink? What are the things we should redeem? What are the things we should rescue from being messed up by other people? What are those things? So if you're dating right now, I want you to ask those questions in your relationship. Just you, with whoever you have. If you are doing school and you're pursuing something, I want you to ask that. Has school become everything about your life? Rejected. Has your relationship become everything about your life? Rejected. These are good things. These are good, amazing things. But they're not ultimate things. They're not ultimate things. They're not the reason for life. Because Colossians 1 says, you were made by God and for God. Now, we're going to pray. Oh, man, I love prayer. But as we're praying, whether you're a Christian or not, I just want to do a quick inventory. I want to ask questions because someone who is finding their value in Christ thinks different from someone who is finding their value in things, relationships, power, their money, their connections. And some of us, if our connections were just cut, we would feel like dying. Some of us, if we lost someone in our lives, we feel like life is empty. But you were made by God and for God in his image. So I just want to do this because there are things that God wants to do in our hearts tonight that I think when we understand this inventory, we'll catch ourselves living in places where we're being valued by things of this world when God says, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, I laid down my life for you. Now, so as I'm going through this inventory, I want you to just be writing down one or two. One, two. One for something that is positive, I'm going to call it, if you are living as a child of God fully loved. Two is if you are doubting that God loves you. So this is the inventory. Can we go up now? I'm just going to be reading it from the screen. Someone who doubts God says, I am doing all that I can to be a better person, a better Christian, and a better leader. Someone that knows that they are loved by God says, I am fully invested in remembering the gospel and living every moment as a cherished child of God. I rarely admit my failures, discuss my doubts, or share my weaknesses. Someone who's fully knowing they're loved by God says, I am quick to admit my failures, my doubts, and my weaknesses because I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Keep going. Keep going. When I experience suffering, I either feel guilt, it's my fault, or bitterness, God owes me. While a child, someone who's sitting in, I have been adopted by God, says, when I experience suffering, I patiently look to see how the Father is using this trial to make me more like Christ. I have a lot, can you go back? I have a lot of strategies for hiding my failings from myself and from others. I have a lot of strategies from hiding from myself, from others. Go to the next slide, please. Thank you. I tend to compare myself with others, which either leads me to momentary pride or depression. Hello. A child says, I am secure in my sonship, so I look to serve people, especially people different from me. I tend to criticize others or gossip so that I can feel better about myself. I love to encourage and celebrate others because of the ways the gospel encourages me. Come on. I am defensive. I find it difficult to listen. I bristle at the charge of being self-righteousness, visually proving the charge. I am open to criticisms since I stand in Christ's perfection and not my own. I am able to examine my deeper motives. I am self-confident but often discouraged, defeated, and lacking the spirit of power. I am Christ confident and encouraged because of the spirit working in me. I tend to complain and be thankless towards God and others. I take my challenges to the throne of grace and I'm conscious and grateful for God's provision. I am an expert at pointing out what is wrong with something and I am often dissatisfied about something in my life. I am quick to see what is good, true, and beautiful. I often treat people and things as work in progress. Can we go to the next slide? This is real. I often feel condemned, guilty, and unworthy before God and others. A child says, I feel loved, forgiven, and totally accepted because of Jesus. I often feel like I gotta fix it or it's up to me. I have so many fears and very little trust in God. I have a daily working trust in God's sovereign plan to be loving, wise, and to do what is best for me. To do what is best for me. I have the gift of discernment and I can see what is wrong in others. I am a competent analyst of what others need to do. I do not have to be right and I am quick to extend grace to others. I love to help others see the grace of God. I feel powerless to defeat habitual sin in my life. Amen. I also do not want to see myself as a big sinner. I am the chief of sinners and I'm watching Jesus slowly change my heart. Amen. I honestly do not pray very often. It's more like a last resort in my life. I'll pray in public, but seldom in private. Prayer is vital because of Jesus. I love to run to Jesus. The Bible promises of spiritual power and joy mock me. God's promises of power and joy are beginning to describe me. Come on. I am unconsciously building a record of works that needs noticing and defending. While a child says, I am consciously standing in the righteousness of Christ, and I do not care if people notice me. I have a deep need to be in control of situations and others. Because of Jesus is in control, I am happy to trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit in any given situation. Let's finish this. I have little desire to share the gospel, and when I do, it is motivated by a sense of obligation and duty, not love. I am actively loving my lost friends and looking for openings to share the gospel with them because I'm compelled by Jesus, by the love he's shown me. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said this, while I regarded God as a tyrant, I thought my sin a trifle. But when I knew him to be my father, then I mourned that I could have ever kicked against him. When I thought God was hard, I found it easy to sin. But when I found God so kind, so good, so overflowing with compassion, I smote upon my breast to think that I could ever have rebelled against one who loved me so and sought my good. I don't know about you, but if you are here and you're like, I want to step out of being defined by the world and step into who God says I am, despite who is sitting next to me or what I think or what even the implications of that will be, I want you to stand up. If you are here and you're like, man, I'm tired of being defined by my sin and my weaknesses. I want to step into who God says I am. Despite all the voices that are even speaking right now, like, what are you doing? Why are you even standing? I want you to step out of that and step into what God is inviting you. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. But then we also have leaders from Flood. Pastor Hav, do we have the team ready? Yeah? I want to pray. No shame, yeah? Come on, we're not going to shame anyone. We're not going to do anything weird. We're just going to humbly kneel before God and say, God, change us. Can we do that? Like, God, we no longer want to be the same. Can we do that? Can we say, God, forgive our past and make us new? Can we do that? Because you know what? Those things God has said he will do. So can we step out of the pride that says it's all about me and step into God is working in me? Can we do that? Would you just lift up your hands? Come on, don't be ashamed. This is you and Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus. And as I'm praying, I want you to start mentioning to God what you want him to change you in. Jesus, we humbly come. We humbly come before you as people that have abandoned what you say we are and chose things we created ourselves. We have turned good things into our mini gods. That we find our happiness
in things that have been destroying us, in relationships that move us away from Him. So Jesus, right now, as my friends are praying, as we are all praying, I pray may you forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us for rejecting you and your ways. Jesus, we step into who you say we are. We step into who you say we are. Because you say we are loved. You say we are new. You say the old is gone, the new has come. Holy Spirit, thank you because you are here and you're working in our hearts. God, your word says that the Spirit is a stamp that we belong to you. So Holy Spirit, take over our hearts in Jesus' name. If you are here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray with you and I want you to confidently pray with me and to repeat after me. Don't care about what other people are thinking or whatever it is. It is you, God, saying, I want what's best for you. I want you to walk in what it means to belong to me. So would you pray with me? So follow my prayer. Lord Jesus, come on. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. It is your kindness that leads to repentance. It is because you are kind that you died for me. Would you wash my sins away? Would you make me new? Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Take control. Baptize me. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your goodness. Fill me with discernment. Cause me to love your word. And cause me to live for you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you make some noise? Now, I have one more prayer. I have one more prayer. Just wait for it. I have one more prayer. If you've just prayed that prayer right now, yeah? I want you to just quickly go on the sides. Just go quickly there. Come on, don't be ashamed. If you just pray that prayer, just go on the sides right now. Go on the sides right now. Go on the sides right now. Don't be ashamed. Come on, man. Show him some love. Everybody, go where you can see people. Go where you can see people. I think more people prayed that prayer, and I think we're trying to be ashamed. We're not about shame. We're all young people in here loving Jesus. So if you have prayed that prayer, take that step and go and meet people and be with people. Go and pray. Go and get more prayed. Go and get prayed for. Go and get prayed. Come on, don't be ashamed. If you are still here and you're like, what's going on? We're not going to do anything weird. We're not going to push you or anything like that. Go in the side and pray with someone. Pray with someone. Now, the second prayer is for you that have prayed that prayer before. Some of us are still sitting of the things we've done or things we've been through. The sins we committed that God forgave us a long time ago. We're still carrying them. We're here. We're standing right now. Jesus' forgiveness is final. It's not dependent on how you're feeling on that day. Now, there are other people here that are like, man, I feel like damaged goods. I have received Jesus. I know Jesus. But I feel like I'm damaged. I just want to step into that. This side on my right, I have some good friends, Theo, and some good friends right there. They're going to pray. But I'm going to pray. When I say amen, we're going to make noise for you as you walk towards those people. And they're going to pray for you. Amen? So let's pray. Jesus, you did not just fix us. We were dead and you gave us life. God, there are things that we are carrying, scars we are carrying that we have allowed them to define us, that we're just praying right now, God, that you release us from those. You release us from shame.
that where shame says there's something wrong with me and guilt says I've done something wrong, God, may you say you paid for it all. So Holy Spirit, release us from our own fears, from our own sexual sin battles, from our own pride battles, from all our abusive relationships, from our anger, from our selfishness. May you release us from that for the sake of your name, for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now if you just pray that prayer with me.